Hi everyone, we're going to read our passage now that Andy is going to be speaking from. The passage is Psalm 62, so if you have a Bible, turn to that now. If you don't have a Bible, you can access the Bible passage just below on the website page. It will be in a PDF version, or you can head to Bible Gateway and search Psalm 62. So let's read that together now. Psalm 62 says, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done."
Well, thank you so much for reading that, Annie. And let's pray as we come to Psalm 62. Keep it open in front of you. And let's pray together. Lord God, you say your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. How much we need that this morning by your Spirit, that you might give us guidance and encouragement and strength for what today and the next days and weeks have to bring. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's really quite amazing, isn't it? 10 days ago, I think our biggest stress as a family was getting our kids not just to wash their hands, but then the fact they were washing their hands so much, all of a sudden they were kind of cracked and dried, and oh man, that was the stress 10 days ago. Now, it feels not such a big deal, does it? It's massively accelerated. It's been a whirlwind of a week, and there are real worries and real fears for all of us. Some of us will be feeling incredibly vulnerable at home, self-isolating, thinking, what if the air I am breathing contains this invisible virus? Others will be thinking, well, how am I going to pay for my business? How am I going to pay for my employees? My finances just dropped off a cliff. How am I going to pay for the house? There'll be parents as well who will be there going, well, we need to work and our kids are off school. How's that going to work? There'll be other parents thinking, my kids have just stopped for the longest summer holiday ever. What am I going to do with them? Pressure. Stress. Our routines are thrown out. We're having to make decisions about stuff we've never even had to think about before. Where do we go? Well, in verse 1, David says something as an encouragement to us. He says, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God." He says, your soul can be at rest even in this time. And you could say, well, David, how do you know my soul can be at rest at this time? Because he is talking from a position where he is under an incredible amount of pressure and stress. Have a look at verse 3. "How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence?" Now, whether it's what people are saying about him, he's a leaning wall, he's about to go, or maybe more likely it is David saying, actually, I am under pressure. I am a leaning wall. I am a tottering fence. We've got back in Worcester, where I used to live, there is this path that goes alongside the river, and On this path, there is a bank and a wall. And above that bank, there is sort of back there, there's a hotel and a pub, and there's a load of seating outside. But this wall next to the walkway, there's a huge bulge in it. And I regularly used to walk along there thinking, that earth is pushing, that wall is under so much pressure. It is going to give way. All it's going to take is another massive flood. You know, I don't know whether after this flood it would have definitely been above that line. I don't know whether it's still there or not. But that image of that bulging wall or that fence that you've got at home that off the back of, you know, some of these storms is tottering. There is weight on it and pressure on it. And you think, I don't know how that is going to stay up. David says, that's me. That is me. That's how I'm feeling. But it's not an illness crisis. It's a people crisis. Have a look for him in verse 4. Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. You see, he says these people who are around him, and he's sometimes with their mouths it looks like they're on his team, but other times he knows behind his back they are not. He says these are people who are rich, who have influence, who have status, and they are using it against him, and he feels powerless to stop it himself. And he says that fence with all that pressure, one more push and it could be all over. You know, maybe as David is explaining his feelings, you think, that's me. That is me this morning. You know, the weights on all of us this past week have felt very heavy. You know, maybe you've been feeling crushed with anxiety. Maybe you've been feeling crippled by fear. Maybe waking up in the middle of the night just with your brain bursting because of all the things you've got to think about and all the things you've got to sort, and at this underlying fear that actually we just can't fix this. Globally, it is out of our hands. And as David, with that pressure, where does he go? He can still say, truly my soul finds rest in God. What is it about God that David knows that enables him into this moment of crisis to say, I've got rest? You know, I guess his fear and he would have longed in his heart for stability and resolution, and yet he says, rest. The rest he's discovered is not dependent upon that, is not dependent on a vaccine, is not dependent on the economy. It's dependent on knowing God. Now, I don't know about you, but I was really looking forward to Easter. I was looking forward to my first Easter here at Surrey Chapel. Celebrating Jesus' death and resurrection at the heart of our faith, the heart of our hope. That would have been wonderful. And then I was really looking forward to going on holiday to Abu Dhabi in North Wales. Not to be confused with Abu Dhabi, somewhere very different. And it's a long term, it feels like, from Christmas, January, February, March, April. It feels like a long term with a big push. And the past couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago, I remember thinking, I cannot wait for that break in Easter. That is when I will get some rest. That is when I'll get some refreshment. And now it's been taken away. I'm sure that's where loads of you feel. But David here says he doesn't need to wait for the holidays for rest. In fact, he says there is rest even in the midst of crisis. See, this rest he talks about is this language of silence, being at peace. you know, my soul not charging around, thinking I need to do this and I need to sort that out and actually this is all on me. No, he says I can have rest in God because of three things he says about God. Look at the three things he says about God in verses 1 and 2. He says, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. You see, he knows. David knows that the only way he would be saved and forgiven is by God's rescuing hand. And how much more do we know that now in the light of Jesus' death and resurrection? God really is the one who can save us from the ultimate enemy of death. He says he's my salvation. He also says he is my rock. My rock. This is the idea of permanence. You know, a place where we can stand and this rock is not going to move. It is never going to be shaken. He says, as I think about God, I know he is my rock. And thirdly, he says he's my fortress. Verse 2. And again, David would have known what it was like. He would have known the value as the enemy was advancing with his army. He would have known the fact that actually having a fortress that is solid and strong, a place he could be in safety that would withstand even the worst of attacks. He says, God is that to me. See, these are truths that he preaches to himself, that he says to himself, says to his head, this will keep me secure in the crisis. You know, are you fixing your eyes on him? Or has your head this week been so consumed with emails and sorting that you've neglected the basics? You've neglected getting into the Bible, reading it out, crying out to him. That routine has gone, and maybe you need to start that again. You know, right at the start, as we start what is going to be a different way of living for a while. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our salvation. But I just love the realism of Paul. And it's not Paul, is it? Of this psalm. Very different. It's not Paul, it's the New Testament. No. Verses 5 and 6, this psalm. Have a look at it. Verses 5 and 6. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Now, he's repeating himself, isn't he? I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Have a look at verses 1 and 2, have a look at 5 and 6 and think what is the same and what is different. I'm counting on my clock. I'm going to cut in 30 seconds time. Turn to the person next to you, have a look. Okay, stop there. What was the difference? That's right. I can't hear you. I can't hear you at home. What is the difference? Have a look at verse 5. And there is a letter missing. There's one letter missing. One letter difference. Apart from the fact it starts with truly and yes. Ignore that. And it's all a bit different, right? It is a little bit different. But there is a letter that is different. Do you see in verse 1, he says, truly my soul finds rest in God. But what does he say in verse 5? Yes, my soul, find rest in God. You see, in verse 1 and 2, he's declaring the truth in his head. But like so many of us, in verse 5 and 6, he is having to preach it to his heart. Find rest. Soul, don't be shaken. You know, my soul, Truly, he is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Soul, find rest in this God. See, he's like so many of us. You know, we can have the mountaintop experiences, can't we? Where we think, yes, Lord. Yes, my soul find rest in you. But then here he is, the reality, the rubber hits the road, and he needs to keep preaching that to his heart as he feels like, I'm going to crush, I'm going to go, my fence is going to fall over. He needs to preach it to his heart. It's Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe these truths, not here, in here, not just up here. Let's be clear here. David in verses 5 and 6, he's not saying, the key thing is my faith, my belief. Oh, my belief needs to be stronger. I need to ramp up my belief. Come on, belief. Believe more, believe more. If only I believed more, then none of this stuff would be happening to me. It's all to do with my faith. Grow faith. No, the way he grows his faith is not by saying, come on, grow faith. The way his faith grows is by seeing how glorious God is. Seeing how big his God is. His focus is on God, in whom his faith rests. See, yes, David in verses 1 to 7 is modelling to us what faith looks like under pressure. But he is not just doing that. You see, the David who sings this is the king of Israel. He's the king of God's people, and actually the words of King David fit best on the lips of King Jesus. And so who are we? Yes, he is modelling faith and how we are to respond. But actually, as we sing King David, as we see King Jesus live out this, we're able to hear the exhortation of verse 8 all the more clearly, as he turns to address his people, as King David addresses his people, as King Jesus addresses us. He says these words, have a look in the second half, verses 8 to 12. This is the exhortation to his people. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. King David says, I know this is my experience. You can trust him at all times, whether it's going really well or it is a real struggle. He is our refuge. He's no armchair theologian. He's not saying, oh, I know the theory of this. I've read this in the Bible. No, in his experience. When his life has been under extraordinary pressure, he said, he has given my soul rest. He is a refuge. And so actually, he here in verses 9 and 10 says, look, throw yourself on him. Don't throw yourself on idols. And there are two idols he brings up here in verses 9 and 10 that so often we look to give our soul rest. Verse 9, it's people you care. Where is it? Verse 9, I'm reading from the wrong psalm. Verse 9, surely the lowborn are but a breath and the highborn are but a lie. He says it doesn't matter where your estate is in life. You know, the vast majority of us, actually, we live and then we'll be forgotten. That's most of us. The lowborn, the lowly in life. We are but a breath. What about the highborn? What about the people who really make it? The celebrities, the bank owners, the prime ministers of this world, the highborn. What about them? Do you want to put our confidence in them? No, they are but a lie. You know, it's been interesting this week as the celebrities have sought to help us. There has been posts out on Instagram. There's this one post from a bunch of actors from Hollywood, and they're all singing a different line of Imagine. And I was watching it thinking, look at you in your massive house. You've probably got more toilet roll than Lidl has across the country. And there you are, trying to encourage us and help us, when in fact, What can you actually do for us? You can't do anything. Look at my file of facts. Look at all my contacts. Look at what I can do for you if you know me. No, no, no. David says they are but a breath. They're but a breath. These people who oppose him are but a breath. The people who we seek to trust in, they are a breath. Just for a moment at home. Breathe in and breathe out. It's not some mindfulness video. I'm not going to go all hippie on you. But actually, that breath, David says, the length of that breath, the significance of that breath is our lives. Don't put your hope in men. And don't put your hope in money. Look at verse 10. Do not trust in exaltation or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. It doesn't matter how you've got your wonga. It doesn't matter how you've got your money. Maybe you've been a dodgy boiler. Exhortation, stolen goods. Those are probably the people who were opposing him. Or maybe they've got their money in legitimate ways and it's been building and building and building. And he says, don't put your heart on money. Don't trust it. Don't trust it as your security, as your refuge, because when the big storm comes, and boy, we're in a big storm, aren't we? But he said, when the ultimate big storm comes, the storm of death, it can never save you. It can never keep you. It can never be your refuge. See, David says, do not turn to people. Don't fear them. Don't turn to them. Don't turn to money. Don't fear it. Don't trust it. Turn to the Lord. Verse 8, pour your heart out to him. You know, I'm sure a lot of us this week would have had moments where there would have been stuff pouring out of our eyes. You know, emotions have been spilling out, haven't they? But here the Lord says, let them spill out. But spill them out to me. Spill them out to the one who actually cares and has power to save us. Just look at verse 12. Verse 11, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. God is the one with all power. That's why he can be our refuge and our strength and our help. And the second thing about the Lord, he says, verse 12, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. It's this hesed love in the Hebrew. It is his covenant love to his people. If you are someone who belongs in Jesus, that love is on you right now. The one with unfailing, ungiving up love. With all power, says, pour out your heart to me. Pour out your heart to me. See, here's the king's message. Here is King David's message. Here would be King Jesus' message to us. Are you feeling like a tottering fence? Where the pressure is building up and we are not belittling the pressure that we face. The business owner, the tough decision, the NHS worker, the children at home. He is not saying that that is not real pressure. And he's also not saying that the Lord will instantly take all that pressure away. But he is saying there is rest to be found in his presence of knowing him as your saviour, as your Lord, as your rock, and as your fortress. And I guess as we hear these words, you know, some of us will be hearing it thinking, I need to trust him. Some of us will be thinking, my fence is not just wavering. It is toppled. It is being drilled into the ground. It is fallen down. How on earth can I find rest in God? See, just look at verse 12. At the end of verse 12, look at what it says. You'll reward everyone according to what they have done. And actually, have we been a people who have found rest in God? Probably not. Often we probably have been the people who have done the things that oppose the king. Well, here is the glory of this psalm. You see, we have a saviour in King Jesus who has done it all perfectly. Verse 12 says, you reward everyone according to what they have done. And those of us who are trusting in Jesus will be rewarded according to what he has done. The future salvation of our souls, a glorious future to come. And so wherever you are, pour out your heart to the Lord. Trust Jesus the King who calls us to himself. Now I'm going to give you some moments to respond in your heart, to pray. And so let me give you a couple of moments to do that. Father God, our emotions have been wild this week. And so we pray this morning we might know a real sense of peace, that you might lift our hearts and minds to you, that we might have perspective on all that is going on, that we might be able to live in faith. Help us to know right now the hope we can have through Jesus at being at peace with you, at peace in our soul, at peace in our circumstances. And Father, give us wisdom to know how best to serve you, how best to live faithfully for you as we push on in the next coming days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to close our time together by singing the words of Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. Mm-hmm.